Now they are sojourning towards a land that God promised to their forefathers in Abraham. But while they sojourned through the wilderness, they disobeyed God. They disobeyed God's law. And because of this unbelief, because of this disobedience, for 40 additional years, they were unable to enter the land. But here in the book of Joshua, a transition in leadership has occurred. And with this transition, the Israelites are finally able to receive the land that God has promised to them. And so they are overcoming this one final obstacle as they cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan that God has promised to them. So with this context in mind, I invite you to listen as I read Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. This is the inerrant and infallible word of God. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, and from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each one of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, "What do these stones mean to you?" then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." If you were to ask my wife, Anna, what is one of the most annoying things about being married to Garrett, she would tell you, without a doubt, that it's when she asks me to go grocery shopping for her. So there is a running joke in my family, and sometimes it's not so much of a joke, that I somehow always come home from the grocery store without something that we needed. In fact, we're at the point in our marriage where she has stopped trusting my memory, and she sends me these detailed lists of every item that I need to get. And she even goes as far as putting all of these items in categories based on where they are located in the store. So just to be fair to her, a third grader could go to the store with this list and be able to come home with everything that she needs. And in fact, sometimes she'll even take pictures off of Google and she'll send it and she'll say, "Oh, we need this exact one." So very detailed. But somehow, every time I go to the store, I end up coming home without something that we need. I manage to forget something. And the reason I share this is because part of being human is to be forgetful, right? We are forgetful people. Think about all the different ways, just as a society, that we fight against this forgetfulness. We use calendars. We use reminders on our phones. We use sticky notes on our fridges. I find myself in the last few years just saying, "Hey Siri, remind me," and whatever else we need to say. So we do all sorts of things to keep our life on track so that we do not forget. But it's not just the trivial that we forget. It's not just that we forget someone's birthday. It's not just that we forget where to put our car keys. It's not just that we might forget a password for an important account. But as humans, as people who are fallen, and in a world that is broken, we have a natural proclivity to forget important things as well. Life in this world has a way of causing us to have amnesia when it comes to things about God. We are finite creatures who do not naturally remember well. We don't wake up naturally in the morning reflecting on and excited about the faithfulness of God in our lives. It just doesn't happen that way. And for this reason, we need reminders. We need reminders. And as we just read in Joshua chapter 4, God commanded the Israelite nation to take 12 stones and to place them on the bank of the Jordan River. And these stones are meant to serve as a permanent reminder, a permanent memorial to all the people of Israel that as they passed through this river with the Ark of the Covenant, this Ark of the Covenant that represents the very presence of God among them, God has been faithful to do what he said he would do. You see, this final crossing is actually symbolic. It is symbolic of their entire sojourning from slavery to the mass exodus to now wandering, to now entering the land that God promised them. So these memorial stones, these 12 stones, act as a reminder of the faithfulness of God to his people. You can think of it as a permanent sticky note made out of rock for the nation of Israel to be reminded that God is faithful. But what do we mean when we say God is faithful? What does that word mean? Well, I think what the faithfulness of God means, to put it simply, is that God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. That's the faithfulness of God. As revealed in Scripture, God is who he says he is, and God always does what he says he will do. And so as I thought about this Sunday in particular, as we were supposed to be outside, as we're celebrating baptisms, it just made me think we would do well as a church to memorialize the faithfulness of God in our lives. Because the pattern that we see in the Old Testament, and probably patterns in our own lives, is that what we fail to actively remember, we will naturally forget. What we fail to actively remember, we will naturally forget. And so today we celebrate and recognize that God has been immensely faithful to our church. Notice again verses 6 and 7 of Joshua 4. God says to his people, when your children ask in times to come, what do those stones mean to you? You shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So just notice that these stones, they were not just for the people who crossed through the river. Those people will probably remember what it was like to trudge with all of their belongings through a muddy river that's subsided. But these stones also served for the coming generations as well, to the children and the children's children of the Israelites, to be reminded that they serve a God who is faithful, a God who makes promises, and a God who always keeps these promises. So these stones, they cry out to the coming generations that God works wonders for his people. His faithfulness endures forever. And even though we cannot see these stones today, they continue to give us a witness that God is faithful. From age to age, from generation to generation, God is faithful to do what he says he will do. And so this leads me to conclude that as a church, we must be a people who make it a habit to memorialize the faithfulness of God, not just for ourselves, but for our children and for our children's children. Because what we do not actively remember, we will naturally forget. Therefore, it must be our habit. It must be a part of our life. It must be a part of our church service every week that we would incorporate the faithfulness of God and we would pass it down to generation after generation that God is a God who does what he says he will do. So just to be clear, I don't think we're the Israelites. I don't think we're supposed to put 12 stones in our front yards and remember it that way. But is not the natural application of this text that we would create room in our lives to celebrate the faithfulness of God again and again and again and again? Because what we do not actively remember, we will naturally forget. So in a very similar way to the Israelite nation, God has given New Testament believers, you and me, he has given us memorial stones to be reminded that he is faithful. So perhaps the most obvious way we do this is by simply opening the pages of Scripture each day. So every believer is called by God to have a life in his word. And I'm convinced that the root problem behind many unsatisfied Christians is that they fail to remember the faithfulness of God because they have not been active in the word of God. I would contest that it is impossible to truly encounter God in his word and walk away unaware of his faithfulness. And this is because the Bible, it is plumb full on every page of Scripture with reminders that God is faithful. That he is who he says he is. And he does again and again and again what he says he will do. One effective way to memorialize the faithfulness of God in our minds and in our hearts is through the daily study, reading, and memorization of his word. Another way that we get to memorialize the faithfulness of God is just by simply meeting together as a church. But what we are doing today is a built-in reminder in our week that God is faithful. And this goes back all the way before, but to the creation of the world. God laid aside a day of rest. And so this Sabbath rest for New Testament Christians is the day that we corporately gather together to worship God. This is a built-in opportunity during our week to fight that amnesia of forgetfulness with the reminder that God is faithful. The obedience of gathering with the church will help us fight against this. And in particular this morning, we have the joy of memorializing one other thing. We have the joy of memorializing baptism. So as we transition our time this morning in observing baptisms, let me offer us just three very quick thoughts about baptism. So first, we celebrate baptism because it means that God is moving among us. We celebrate baptism because it means God is moving among us. So baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. Okay? It's an outward sign of an inward reality. So the outward sign is baptism, and the inward reality is that God has caused, these people we're about to watch be baptized, God has caused them to be born again. They have been born again to a living hope. And he has done this so that he might show them the immeasurable riches of his grace towards them for the rest of their lives and on and into eternity. To put it simply, God saves people to satisfy them in his love forever. So as we watch these baptisms this morning, what I want us to have at the forefront of our minds is that this is a memorial. This is a reminder that God is saving sinners. God is moving among us as a church. Each person baptized here today, think of them as a stone, a memorial stone that God is faithful. Second thing to think about as we watch baptisms this morning, remember that baptism is a public confession of faith. Baptism is a public confession of faith. So baptism must be done publicly. This is not a private event. This is not something we're doing in our bathtubs at home. It is through this commanded act that one is decisively saying to the church and to the world that Jesus is King, that he is Lord. And so for this reason, we ought not strong arm anybody into baptism. And these brothers and sisters that are being baptized this morning, this was their choice. This was their choice that was brought about by the Spirit of God who has removed their heart of stone and has given them a heart of flesh. And today what they are doing is they are walking in obedience together to proclaim that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Final thing to think about as we watch baptisms this morning is to remember your own baptism. Remember your own baptism. My wife and I had the privilege of attending a wedding last night. And one of my favorite parts about going to weddings is to listen to the bride and groom's vows. And so my wife and I will sit there and we'll hold hands and we'll just listen to vows. And it's just this moment as a married couple where you're kind of renewing those vows again. You're just being reminded again that marriage is a beautiful thing. And in a similar way, that's what we get to do today as believers. So if you are a baptized believer, I believe the Lord is inviting you today to renew your covenant vow before the Lord as we watch these baptisms. Because we are not our own. We belong, body and soul, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would invite you today, if you've been baptized, to think about today as an opportunity to be reminded of the covenantal vows you've made before the Lord. And perhaps more important than your vow to the Lord through the obedience of baptism, I think we should be reminded today that this is God's vow to us. You see, we baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that we are being reminded that this is the Father who has chosen us in eternity past. This is the Son who has spilt his precious blood to purchase us. And he has sent his Spirit, and he has sealed us for eternity. And this promise has been given to us that because of our triune God, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So church, let's renew our covenantal vows together as we watch baptism unfold this morning. So we're going to turn our attention to do that. And right before we go outside, I'd like to invite Hamilton Walker to come up, who's being baptized, and we would love to hear a few thoughts from him as well. So if you would, please welcome Hamilton.
All right, this is kind of weird being up here, but good morning, church. Hope y'all are doing good this morning. Since I'm first, I'll try to keep it short and sweet and to the point. Most of y'all know me, but some of y'all don't. Hi, I'm Hamilton. I'm 20 years old. I'm a college student at Kennesaw State, and I've been going to this church for almost 3 years now. My testimony starts with growing up in the faith, being around my parents all at church, and just always being there every Sunday. My youngest memories as a kid include being at church on weekdays, helping my mom, or attending church every Sunday. My testimony is a very classic start when I woke up one night crying. I was scared that I was going to die, and I didn't know where I was going. I remember running into my mom and dad's arms, in which they told me about Jesus who died for a cross and the grace and mercy of God. I remember accepting Christ in my life around 12 years old, and then a few months later, I got baptized. The only problem with this is that I accepted Christ but didn't understand what it meant, or what it meant to have a relationship with him, or even what baptism meant. The 12-year-old me was just excited to be in a swimming pool on a hot day. I was lost, and I didn't believe that I was actually saved. Throughout the next few years, I would consistently go to church, but was going for all the wrong reasons. It began to be a chore and something I would just check off the box. I would go to church and just pray that I didn't fall asleep, or I was there just to annoy the person right next to me. I wasn't serious with my faith and began to fall into the sinful natures of pride, lying, lust, and jealousy. I wasn't fighting those sins and began to let them guide me through middle school and high school. It wasn't until senior year that I really began to get serious in my faith. I began to feel conviction of the old sins that once felt good but did not feel good anymore. Many of my friends and family can attest, but there was a clear godly change in the man I was. The main factor that contributed to this was attending this church. This church provided for me godly examples of men and women in this church like nothing I'd ever experienced before. This community helped push me to want to learn and understand God on a deeper level. It had been the first time ever that I was excited to go to church and understood how much God was actually working in my life. So I stand here today and I want to thank y'all. Thank y'all for pouring your love onto me. Y'all are a huge factor to my testimony, and I'm forever grateful for this church. I want to get baptized anywhere else, and I love you all. Okay.
Ham, our church loves you too, man. Thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing. So I started this morning by reading from Psalm 145. I only read a couple of verses, but as Garrett was speaking about God's faithfulness and the memorial, I'm just going to read a couple more verses, and then we're going to make our way outside here in just a second. So Psalm 145, verse 4, it says this: "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." And so the way in which God has created the church and in his wisdom ordained for the gospel to advance, he works from one generation to the next. And in our church, we have that. And so there's a call upon us. And I hope you felt that when Garrett was sharing, from one generation commending the works of God to the next. It's a responsibility we have. It's a privilege that God has given to us where we get to share the gospel with the next generation. We get to encourage one another about God's faithfulness, and we just need it. We just need it. And so as your pastor, I'm inviting you and asking you as a church, from especially the older folks in this church, to be intentional. To be intentional with your relationships, with those in this church, with your kids, just to, as much as you can, share the good news of Jesus Christ with one another. To build one another up and to encourage one another of just God's faithfulness. And so it goes on and it says, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness." And so I'd also want to encourage us in this as a church, not just older generation to younger generation, but all of us as a church, as we're really seeking to build that culture of encouragement in our church, which I would say you excel in and you do a great job at, but just to keep doing that. And by that, I mean encouraging one another with just the greatness of God. And it takes some intentionality. Take some intentionality. And so we try to do this in our home at different points around the dinner table. We'll just try to point out what's God doing or something great that happened today. But just for us as a church, we need these reminders that we have an awesome God who is great and is faithful, and he's at work all the time. And we got to hear a little bit of that from Hamilton's testimony. He's been here for 3 years. And if you think about those past 3 years and what you were doing, you probably just think you were just kind of living life, right? We just kind of showed up. We set up chairs. We sang songs. And we maybe taught children's ministry. You probably interacted with him just a little bit at different times. And he just represents one person of this church. But God has called us to be faithful and to declare his greatness. And it matters. And sometimes we can think, well, that's got to be this massive thing. You got to preach a message like Garrett just preached. And that's just not always true. God works through just the small, ordinary things. And I hope you heard that in Hamilton's testimony. Just showing up. You showing up faithfully for the last 3 years has had an impact on his life. And I would say the other 6 people that are going to be baptized today. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a faithful church. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for picking up your cross. Thank you for modeling what it looks like to follow him, because it matters. And you might not think it matters, but it does. It's affected his life. It affects my life. It affects everybody else here. And so thank you for being a faithful church. And I just want to encourage, declare God's faithfulness to one another. Let us proclaim of his greatness. And so now here's what we're going to do. We're going to all move outside. And you'll see the tub is set up out there. And if you want to just gather around, it's not going to take forever, so you don't have to have chairs to sit down. And so if you've ever been a part of one of our baptisms before, we've usually done this at somebody's house in a pool. This time we're doing it outside so everybody can be a part of it. And so we're going to work through the baptism. I'll gather us. Once everybody's out there, I'll say a few things, and we'll start baptizing people, and then I'll lead us through the rest, okay? So take some time. You can move on outside. Just leave some room around the tub, and hopefully everybody can see. Thank you.